Start with the Tosfos on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. So just to review the Gemara for a moment. The Gemara had suggested that the solution to the riddle of the Braisa, that Rabbi Meir might hold that Ein Adam Eser Meshalein, and yet Ganav Etavach B'Shabbes is Chayev to pay Dalet V'Hei, would be B'Toveah HaYudayacha. The Gemara proceeds to cite three different sources for the notion that Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera does not apply by Tficha and Mechira. It's one of three exceptions, as we've mentioned. Tficha, Mechira, Ilan, Shlichus Yad. Merzutra responds by challenging the suggestion. Merzutra says that if you doing something is not Mechayiv you, how can your shaliach doing it be mechayiv you? Even if one grants for the moment that shlucho shel adam kimoso, if kimoso, I don't know how to get the pronoun off the end there, the o, okay, if lo, who, cannot be chayiv in it, then shlucho, presumably if it's kimoso, would also be potter. By analog, I think I mentioned this, we say that komilsa dehulo matzi avid shliach lo matzi mishavye. Something that you can't do yourself, you can't have a shaliach do for you. Which is the reason I think the Gemara Nedarim points out in Kiddushin that the Kohanim have to be shluchei derachmanach, not shluchei didan. Because if I, as a non-Kohen Dovi, cannot do Kabbalah and cannot do Halacha and cannot do Zrika, then I can't appoint you as my shaliach to do so. So you have to be shluchei derachmanach. So that was Marzutra's question. To which the Gemara responded that the reason why he's potter is not because he's not chayiv, expression, but rather he's potter because of kamei b'derabba mineh, which we might say is a technicality. Now, if you say that, of course, the implication perhaps of that statement is that in the Ikar Adin you are Chayef, but we can't enforce it because of Kamei B'Derabba Mineh. And in fact, we know such a principle elsewhere in Shas. The notion is invoked in the Gemara Bava Tzia Daf Tzadi Aleph by Rava. He refers to one concept and he applies it to another area, and presumably we could extend it to other issues as well. Rava comments that Esnan Asra Torah Vafilu Baal Ima. What does that mean? It means that if a man hires his mother to perform for services, and she renders those services, he is engaged in a contract, he now has to fulfill a payment. The catch is that Beis Din will not enforce that contract. Why will they not enforce that contract? Because in the process, they're going to put him to death, for both of them perhaps, for death for this act, and therefore come labor the Rabbi Yunei. Supposing, however, either they don't get put to death, or they did get put, they will get put to death eventually, but supposing that the man says, look, I'm chayav isa, theoretically, in reality, whatever it is, Beis Din will not make me pay this esnan. If a person's mother is tovea him in Beis Din, Beis Din will say nothing to him, come labor the rabbi, but the person wants to do tshuva, so presumably he will not pay esnan zona again, or he will not hire a zona again. But instead, what he decides to do is he wants to make restitution. So now he gives a tle. He gives a sheep or a goat. Right? Anochi ashalach gidi izim min atzom. Right? By the way, that would have been, I'm surprised no one has, I'm sure somebody has worked through that, that Yehuda was technically, in Beis Din, no one would have forced Yehuda to send the goat to Tamar. Never thought about that until this moment. Right? Why? Because it was kalaso. She had been married to two of his sons. So she was an erva where there was theoretically Mises Beis Din involved, at least in a post-Sinai environment. And therefore, Beis Din would not have forced Yehuda to pay the Gedi. But, let's say Yehuda, wanted to come totally clean. Let's say Shidei Shamayim. It wasn't enough to say Tzad Gami Beni. That was a big deal. But now he wants to make small amends, which is he's going to send her a goat. Does he have to send her a goat? And the answer is yes. He hired her perform services. She did. He agreed to pay her a goat, so he's got to send her a goat. That's all. We're not told the end of the story whether he gave her a goat or not, but okay. Fine.
Does she automatically get Maisley that if she marries him? Like,
Well, right. We don't know. It's lo yasafo ledata. I don't know what that means. Because mistama, if he remained married to her, then he was violating withholding her ona. And if he wasn't allowed, if you assume that he wasn't allowed to, so then they weren't really married because kiddushin weren't toasted. So I don't know what the story is.
Lo yasaf is like what it means by lo yasaf.
I know, but you have it by nice nabu b'layasafa, right? But there you get a split. Here, everybody seems to interpret the targumim. The, I don't know if all the mafarshim seem to interpret b'layasafa the data kipshuto that you know he did this.
I feel like I've seen.
I'm sure that somebody makes the suggestion. However, some amount of shach. Either he continues to be married to her. You're right, but that doesn't mean it belongs to her. It just means that he has to support her now. But he still owes her a matana of a goat. Whereas, if they're not married, he certainly owes her the goat. Fine. Anyway, so the point is that if the if let's say the man goes and gives his mother a sheep, a tleh, he gives her a tleh be'esnano, and now she too wants to do tshuva, and she says, you know, it would be inappropriate for me to benefit from this. So you know what? I'm going to bring it to God and bring it as a carbon. So the Torah says lo savi esnan zona. Now one might have argued, look. Let's say a man has a zona that he frequents, and he decides, you know, comes end of year time, holiday time, and he wants to send her a Hanukkah present. So he sends her a sheep as a Hanukkah present, not for specific services rendered, just, you know, as a thank you, right? You leave a tip for the garbage man. I don't know if you're allowed to by law. You leave a tip for the postal service. Maybe you tip the bus drivers or your children. So this guy decides he wants to send her a gift. So he sends her a sheep. So the question is, can she bring that sheep as a carbon? And the answer to that question is, yes. Why? It's not esnan zona. It's not payment for specific services. He's not mechuyif at all to give her that gift. Lo b'dinei adam, lo b'dinei shamayim. So Rava says that when it comes to the esnan of imo, even though he's not going to be forced to give that esnan by Beis Din, nonetheless, b'dinei shamayim he's mechuyav, and therefore, if he gives her a tleh for esnana, so then it would be also to bring them as the karban. The shame esnan zona would be chal upon. Okay, so that was one example. Second example that Rava then used by analogy. A person rents his friend's ox or borrows his friend's ox, either one, and while he's threshing with it, he's chosem the ox or the cow. Chosem parasa shachaver. Now, part of the stipulated contract, the assumption was that when I borrow your cow or rent your cow in order to thresh, that since the Torah says lo sasom shor b'disho, your shor is going to get to eat. So the Gemara had quoted a brisa that said that chosem parasa shachaveira loka mishale. So Rava, so the question is, what do you mean? Kamei d'rabinei. So Rava said, no, that your loka bidei beis din, your chayev l'shalem bidinei shemayim. Why? Because beis din will not make force you to pay for being chosem the shor, the para, and preventing it from eating, because of kamei d'rabinei. However, under your contract, you needed to have fed this animal, right? One of the things that I think you're allowed to do, I think they say you're supposed to do this, maybe, I don't know if you have to do this by kachim, but you could hang a basket of food around the animal's neck in such a manner that if it, as long as it's still capable of reaching down and eating from what it's threshing, but if it's easier for the animal to eat from that, and you put some goodies in there, you put some carrots in there, and the cow is very happy with the little sweets, so then that's mutter to do, right? You're allowed to have a verbal gentleman's agreement with the cow, or gentlewoman's, or whatever it is, not to eat from the disha, right? You can offer them a bonus. You can give the cow a lollipop if you want, and if the cow's happy with the lollipop and prefers not to eat the wheat, it just won't eat the wheat. That's not called chasima. That's not called lo sasam shor b'disho. Lo sasam shor means you have to muzzle. You have to make it impossible for the animal to eat. So the point is that you have an obligation to make sure the animal gets to eat. And so Rava says, if you prevented that from happening by being chosem, so aside from the fact that you violated the Saflim Shabbatisho, you have to make good on it, except for Beis Din won't force you to do so, because the time of the theft, at least the way Rava understands the chiyuv of mizonos of a behema, is the same time you violated the Saflim, and therefore you are Basin will not be mechayiv you to pay, but you're still obligated to do so. If there were enough gavina, whether something were considered a matana or something were considered wages, almost come up with enough gavina. So Rava would be saying that those are wages. That's a chov. That's not a matana. It's a chov. It's not a matana. One enough gavina. Anyone come up with enough gavina here? And you know what shibudah the Rav Nosson is? Shibudah the Rav Nosson is that if Levi owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Reuven money, Reuven can collect from Levi. It's a shibudah the Rav Nosson. What? Minasan lashar Hashem lo. Yeah, that's called shibudah the Rav Nosson. So theoretically, shibudah the Rav Nosson doesn't work if it's a. In other words, let's say you come to the guy. I don't know if you can work it out with it. You can understand why if the guy whose parat is owes someone else's money, so maybe you could construct an afkamina depending upon whether that gift were a matana or that gift were a chov. Okay. That payment were a chov, not a gift can't be a chov. So now, before we come to our sugya, I want to raise one other issue that I haven't worked fully through, but I want you should be thinking about in the back of your mind, and maybe it's relevant here. There's a Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara Bava Kama that says that Arba, I think Dina Masru La Shamayim. That Yupato Bedine Adon Yuchayim Bedine Shamayim. It's a Gemara, I thought, in Bava Kama. Abraisa and Daphne and Hamad Beis. Tanya Amra Yeshua Arba Dvarim Ha'osa Son Pato Medine Adon Yuchayim Bedine Shamayim. Ve'elu hein haporetz geder b'fnei behemas chaveru, v'akofev kamaso shel chaveru b'fnei hadleika, v'asocher edes sheker, l'ha'id, v'hayodeh edes l'chaveru v'eno me'id la. So these four cases, if you break down your friend's fence and his animal goes out and does damage, obviously you chayef are being poretz together, but if you open the gate and there's no damage, then the stampede gets out, so you're chayav b'dinei, you're part of b'dinei, chayav b'dinei shemayim, because you're not a masik b'yodayim, and you're not a shomer either. And if you're kofev kamaser shachavir fnei adleika, if the fire has been set by someone, and you bend his sheaves, your friend's sheaves, you don't light the fire, you bend the sheaves over in such a way that they're going to get caught by the firestorm, so again, you weren't mazik b'yadayim, you just put them there and the fire consumed them. B'yachayev b'dinei, pata b'dinei l'chayev b'dinei shemayim. If you're socher edei sheker l'hoyed, if you hire false witnesses to testify, I'm not sure exactly what that case is. The Gemara talks about it, but obviously if you collect money inappropriately, then you're chayev to pay back if the edim lie. That's a given. That's not b'dinei shemayim, that's b'dinei adam. And finally, Yodei Eidus L'chaver Reina Melo. I know that Eli is owed, $100 by Daniel, and I, Zach and I could come and testify, and we don't come and testify. So, we're part of B'dinei Adam, Chai B'dinei Shemayim, presumably because it's only a grum at most, right? We're only causing, we're actually doing the damage. So my question, firstly, is, when Rava says that you're Chayev, is this the same thing as talking about being Chayev B'dinei Shemayim, or not? Conceptually, is it the same thing? You can ask a general question. When you do damage via Groma ben Yizokin, are you chayav to pay b'dinei shemayim? Right, So, putting that aside here, is this the same thing that we're talking about or not? What do you think? Yodeh edus l'chaveru ve'eno me'edlo. The Braisa says, Rabbi Yeshua says, that you're part of the b'dinei shemayim. Chayav b'dinei
shemayim doesn't mean that you're chayav to pay money. And it would be a nice thing to do for you to pay money if this guy is going to extract. There's no tashlum that's relevant.
Well, but all that means, well, it is. If you're Yodei Eidus Chaveru Me'edlo, this is a very simple answer. Make restitution. Presumably, Yotzi Yedei Shemayim when you do that.
I mean, doesn't
But if I failed to testify, but he wasn't mashpia me with a shuas edus, okay? So we don't have any of that. So and let's say he didn't know that I knew testimony. I knew it, and I knew that I could have saved Eli the $100. So presumably, the way you're yotzei de shemayim there is by paying out of pocket. Misa, no, misa chas v'shalom.
That's for. Sorry, I'm confused. For Nevi, with Nevi, that's fine.
Chas v'cholila.
Yes. Okay, but
so that's the question. So I think the answer is, in other words, I think the answer to the question is no. I think the answer to the question is no. In other words, if you ask Beis Din, do I have to pay the Esnan? Beis Din will tell you, yes, you are mechuyev to pay the Esnan. We can't force you to do it. But if you ask Beis Din by the Yodei Edus Chaver Hinameid, I don't think that Beis Din, well, now you turn around, you ask a Shaila. What do you mean? You didn't come in.
If you're telling Beis Din that you got additional evidence, then you're telling.
So let's say you took a Shuas Edus in Beis Din already, and now you turn around and you acknowledge that you sinned. So you can't testify anymore because Kevan Shehigit Shubin Echozer Magid. You're not so clever. Not so clever, Shlomo. Okay?
You're just like the worst aid ever.
What?
You're just like the worst aid ever. Like,
something like that.
Like,
something like that. So I think if you were to ask, are you chayiv to pay, is it that you're chayiv to pay but Beis Din won't enforce it? I don't think so. I think that al pi din, you're not chayiv to pay. This is a little like you were saying, Danny, but not the same thing. But you're an avarian. You're a bad person. You're immoral. You cost someone money that they should have been entitled to. You're not liable. Now, as you ask Beis Din, am I mechuyev al pi din but you won't enforce it? The answer is no, you're not. But you did an avera. And God might punish you. And if you want to escape that punishment, the best thing to do is to make restitution so the other person doesn't stand the loss. And then God won't be angry at you. Or not as angry at you. And I think you're correct in what you said. In other words, the way to escape the wrath of heaven is to pay. But fundamentally speaking, you're not obligated to pay. By Eston Zona and Kosein Parasel Shechavero, so there, you're fundamentally obligated to pay. It's a technicality which Beis Din will not, they can't enforce it. I'll give you a simple example. Let's say I borrow money from, I don't know, Alex. I borrow $100 and no one witnesses it. And he comes and he bugs me. I said, sorry, don't remember. I paid you back, I think. Never borrowed the money, whatever it is. He has no proof whatsoever. So firstly, as an aside, you should know that it's usher to lend money without witnesses. It's a violation of Ne'iver. Okay, that's a side point. Maybe you can lend your friend $5, but to lend real money without proper documentation or proper witnesses is usher, al pi din, because it's considered a violation of lifnei iver. But Alex, so he violated lifnei iver, he loaned me $100, and now I deny owing it. Now, will Beis Din make me pay the money? Of course not. If I ask Beis Din, am I chayiv to pay? Beis Din will say, well, if your account is what you say is true, then the answer is, no, you're not chayiv to pay. But obviously, it's not that I'm not chayiv to pay, it's that Beis Din can't enforce it. In the case of Esnan and Chosein Paraso Shachaver, Beis Din can't enforce it because of a technicality of Kama Drownine. In this case, Beis Din can't enforce it because there is no evidence, which is also a technicality. Beis Din just doesn't know they don't know with the certainty. Thus, that's an example I think that's more analogous, where really al pi din I'm chayiv to pay, just Beis Din won't make me do it. So when we say chayiv, in other words, it's not just chayiv, in other words, this chayiv in Beis Din, this chayiv bidine, bidine adam, and this chayiv bidine shemayim. Chayiv bidine Beis Din means I'm absolutely obligated to pay by Torah law, and Beis Din will force me to do so. Chayiv b'dinei, I'll call it this one kind of, that's not the term I want to use, the Gemara. You know, chayiv b'dei adam can mean that I'm obligated to pay, but it's unenforceable. And that would be Esnan and Chosein Paraso Shachavero and the loan, which I have no evidence for. And then there is this, the situation where I'm pato b'dinei adam, really al pi din, am I mechuyev to pay? The answer is no, but lotzei shidei shamayim, because I'm a bad person. Right? Just because it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch what you're doing is asur, or just because it doesn't say that you're chayiv for performing a certain action, doesn't mean that it's okay. L'chule alma. L'chule alma, just because something is not technically usher under Torah law, does not mean it's moral or acceptable. That, in that formulation, it's absolutely clear. There's something called a finimishur sadin, there's something called a kedushim tiyu, and there are things that are even closer to din than those things. So, undoubtedly, there are things that are bad. And if I do them, I'm a bad person. And the only way to become a good person is to make restitution. Maybe that's the wrong term, because I'm not really chayav on any level. In order to make good where I made bad, or where I allow bad to happen and I could have prevented it. So there's really three different categories. Yes, Danny?
I would argue that the category in which you placed Alex borrowing the money isn't necessarily the right categorization. The differences between the cases in Bava Kamma, in Bava Kamma, right?
Yes.
Okay. So the difference between those cases and the cases of Hossein Para and
Esnan,
so they don't seem to be the differences, at least in terms of what the facts are on the ground that would prompt us to make this conceptual distinction, would appear to be that Beisdin fully knows and is able to demonstrate the facts of the case. In the case of Esnan, in the case of Hossein Para, in the case of Alex, in the case of you letting Alex borrowing money from you, that would more seem to be analogous to the case in Bava Kamma, where there's no way for Beisdin to actually demonstrate that. There's no way for Beisdin to actually demonstrate that you're chayav, which would seem to be the basis for the conceptual difference between for the categorical difference between the.
Except that from Beisdin's perspective, you may be correct, but from the perspective of, and as one of them, I would say, is. In other words, is a midas chasid. In other words, to pay by yovei edus lachavero ve'inomeyed lo. I don't want to call it midas chasid. Not exactly, but once I already was over, so in principle, I am not chayiv. I'm really not chayiv to pay, but I've done an avera. I've done an avera, and on some level, I would say the following.
If anything in those cases based in
let me demonstrate. Let's say the guy I was Yodea Edus for. And I didn't testify, he's impoverished, he has nothing. And now he has a debt. So the even though, if I acknowledge now, the guy I could have saved money turns around and is mochel to me everything, and we now admit what the facts were, so the halacha will be that his bal chov has nothing to collect. Now I'll take now shibut the Rav Nasan, in effect, wouldn't work. But in the case of Alex and I, in this case, if Alex turns around and is mochel, and I admit, we both admit, I owed him the money, but he's mochel, his bal chov can come along now, theoretically. I mean, there's a technical problem of shibud here, because obviously it wasn't a novo bishtar. But in theory, in a theoretical sense, his bal chov could come along and say, that's nice, Alex, your mechila doesn't work, because it's makom shechav lachrine. As I have a prior shibud. Once I owe Alex the money, his balchov can say, well, then that money goes to me via shibud Rav Nasan. Okay, again, putting aside the technical aspects of the halva itself. Let's say there was a shtar that he lost. There was a milva b'shtar that he lost. The witnesses are dead. He can't produce the shtar. I find the shtar. I'm holding on to it. Now, we finally decide to make peace. They said, here's the shtar. Alex is prepared to tear it up. Right. So the balchov can say to him, sorry, I'm collecting. Doesn't matter that he's mochel. Okay, write that. I would argue the exact same thing is true by Esnan and Hossein Paraso Shachavera. Now I can choose not to pay it to you, but
well, now you're changing the facts of the case with Alex.
What?
No.
Nothing changed other than I wanted to put a star in there.
I mean, yeah, that changed it from demonstrable and based into fundamentally nothing.
There is no difference between a milva b'shtar and a milva al be'edim and a milva without one. Fundamentally, the chov is the same. There's a technical difference between a milva b'shtar and a milva al peh in terms of shibud and chosim. Which is only a distinction probably on Marushach, it's only a distinction on the Rabbanon level. Allow me for the moment to say Shibud's all the Rabbanon. So in our Torah there's no difference at all between lending someone in secret, lending someone with Tuedim, and lending someone Bishtar. Same din. course, the problem is I've just done it with a shibud, so I don't like that. But in principle, nonetheless, I don't think that there really is still going to be any difference fundamentally in terms of what the shibud is. So that's what the difference is between the case. That's why I think the Alex case, now it has a new name, belongs in the Esnan and Hossein category, not in Rabbi Yeshua's 4. In Rabbi Yeshua's 4, there is no real obligation. It's a moral obligation. In the case of Alex and the Esnan and the Hossein, it's a financial obligation. Neither of them is enforceable in a court. One of the set of them, because either a technicality of Kamle, or not a technicality so much as Beisdin doesn't have the evidence. Right? Beisdin could say, if it were true, you owe the money, but we can't force you to pay when you deny it and he doesn't have evidence. He didn't produce the shtar. In the other cases, there is no monetary obligation. It's a moral obligation. In the other case, the mechila is the same thing as my paying the money to him. It has the same, carries the same weight in all circumstances, because I never really owed him money.
What were the 4 cases again? Sorry.
Well, the 4 cases were Kofev Kamasa Shel Chaveiro, Lefnei Hadleika, Poreitz Geder Shel Chaveiro Lefnei Behemto, Sochar Ede Sheker, and Yodea Lo Eidus Veino Meyadla. The whole point is that all of those cases, I am not obligated to pay. If I do, apparently, it sounds like, if I do Nesek through Grama, I'm a bad guy. But if Grama Ben Izakin is Pater, really means Pater. Pater doesn't mean every aveira you do, every bad thing you do, you know, you're chayav b'dinei shamayim. It's not mutter.
So if we're not going to chalak between Beis Din having actionable evidence that they just simply can't enforce, as opposed to Beis Din not being able to have any evidence at all. So on what grounds are we making? Like, what evidence do we have to say that there are fundamentally 2 different types of chayav b'dinei shamayim?
Well, because they think that. What grads? So, firstly, it's a svara. In other words, I'll take him back. Kofev Kamasa Shachaver is obviously grama. Yeah. We say grama ben Yizakin is potter. Right? And we don't say that, I don't think we say anywhere that you're chayiv, but it's unenforceable. We assume
where would the nafkamina be?
So, I just provided you, in theory, with a possible nafkamina.
For grama?
Yeah. Would you, in other words, if we can, you can probably can construct the Shibud the Ram Nasan case.
I mean, I'm sorry, I perhaps wasn't, following that necessarily. So, in the Shibud the Ram Nasan case, we're assuming that Shibud the Ram Nasan would be in effect, despite the Chiyuv not existing if it were just.
No, if it's unenforceable because of a technicality or lack of evidence, then in principle, when the parties both were to admit, and in one case pay, the shibud really is there.
Yeah.
Whereas in the case of Rabbi Yeshua's 4, there is nothing there. There's no monetary obligation to pay. There's a moral obligation.
It's a nafkamina, but it's not. It's a nafkamina that's less grounded in the concept and more grounded again in the technicalities of the case.
Well, no, I think that Rava's Esnan really highlights the 2 different possibilities. Right? Rava could have, presumably, if a man, agreed to pay his mother X, he's supposed to do that because Sheiris Yisrael Yasu Avla. Look, as abhorrent as the act was, okay, let's not forget that part, okay? The bottom line is that she did something for you and you're supposed to pay. You know, someone does a favor for you, you agreed to pay them, you're supposed to pay. So Rav is telling you that don't think that you're just paying out of a sense of chesed or moral obligation. Your paying is actually the fulfillment of a legal obligation. And only because it's a fulfillment of a legal obligation is it nispas be'esna.
What does that mean?
In other words, if it were just a matana the man was giving to his mother for services rendered, it wouldn't have the status of Esnan Zona. She could bring it as a karban. It's like the end of your holiday present. But it's not.
From the other side, from the side of Rabbi Yoshua's 4. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's simply no way that it could ever work in a Shibud case, but that's perhaps...
Well, no, because I would say...
Because of...
Let me just see if I can construct it.
See, with those four, it's nearly impossible to really construct enough. I mean, well, no, because the technical realities of the case would prevent them from ever being.
I can always create a shibud with you on a deal. I don't mean this to be like, you know, the Mekadesh Al Tanai is always a nafkamin. I don't mean that. But right. I just can create, you should be able to create a shibud in such a way that I only get a shibud on. I'll give you the following example. Assuming that Masha Kansa Isha Kansa Baila, in a situation of a certain kind of economic marriage, in partnership in a marriage, under the default circumstances, Chazal, husband must support his wife, but Masha Kansa, what I say?
You said Kansa Isha Kansa Baila?
Yeah.
Kanabayla. So, no, because I thought you were saying with the
Samach,
I'm like,
no,
fine, what?
Okay, Masha Kansa Isha Kanabayla.
Sorry.
Fine. Sorry, I always have that problem. Okay, so Masha Kansa Isha Kansa. And if a woman works and earns wages, those belong to her. And if someone is Mazikar, those go to the husband as well, presumably. But a person can give an Isha a Matana Amanasha in the Bayla Rishosma. So the question is, And let's say their deal. So let's say the person here wants to give her something as a restitution. It wants to give her something. Amanasha in lebay lerushuspa. So it would depend on whether this is a matana or that this is tashlumen.
Okay.
So now apply it in those cases.
Well, I mean, the extension of my argument would be, well, in those cases, indeed, it wouldn't have the din of matana.
You want to say it's a chawa? So I don't. I mean, you want to say that you have the din of Masha Kansi Chakanabaila, you wouldn't say, and even though he wants to say Amanash in the Balich Rishusvo, doesn't matter because it's really a Chov Tahar. So I don't think that that's true in those cases.
Okay,
so I don't have a proof to that, but it seems to me intuitive. In fact, I don't know the language is actually going to hold, but there's probably a difference between, I mean, you said it at first, Chayiv Abidei Shamayim versus Latzei Sidei Shamayim. Okay, but I think that's intuitive. Dan?
Even in the cases of Rabbi Yoshua, though, the matana that you're going to give is probably going to correlate to the owed amount that you owe the person. Meaning it's not...
No, so let's take Kofev Kamasa Shochaveu Lefnei Adleika. Let's say this woman owns land because someone gave her a matana almanas that her husband has no rishus in it. So she owns it. And now someone is Kofev well, I'm going to run into problem. Let's say they're Nechsei Malog. The husband does have rights to the land. He's Kofev Kamasa Shachavero. Everybody knows it's the woman's land. But technically the stuff going on it is the husband's. So now the man feels bad, and he comes to the woman and says, you know what? I want to pay you for that. And let's just keep it simple. The husband and the wife have an arrangement that all matanos stay with the possession of the woman, but all tashlumen, obviously, na matanos, would go to the husband. And especially in this case, because we tashlumen for his grain that was burned. So when he pays the woman menastam, do we say that's a matana for the woman? Do we say that's tashlumen for the baal's loss? So I think that's correct, but Schlein is challenging that point. He wants to say, no, maybe in that case when you pay, it's actually tashlumen. It's not just a matana. So I can't prove it.
I think the conceptual difference, I mean, I may humbly say, is that in the case of the Rabbi Yoshua's four cases, it's not like a kamlei mederabe mine is interfering with your liability to pay. There is no liability to pay.
Okay, so that's a tautology. You're agreeing with me, but that's what
I'm
claiming. Right? Now, that doesn't prove that he's wrong. I think that's just... I would say, Danny, that if we say grama benizokin is potor, that refers to the primary chiyuv of having to pay. And this one of the, at least one, if not two of these cases, are grama ben izakin. Yes.
But you say that the word pater implies that you have no even theoretical chiyuv to pay.
Correct.
You say pater by human marriage, eh?
What's that?
We use the word pater here.
I know, but with there we qualify it with the extent of Meshim is chayiv ben asha, not because he's pater. Grama ben izakin is pater, period.
you're not really making a difference from the
language. I'm not naming the language. I'm making this from the categorical statement without qualification. Okay.
I don't know about that. So did you say earlier that if, for example, this woman, this guy's mother, would be mochav matana, really the esnan, she's not
right.
In at all. Is that, if he gives it to her, is that still an esnan?
I mean, if she is mochav, I don't know, that gets into a technical question. Is if she's mochelas, does that totally erase, that's it, I don't know. No. Does that erase the chov, and now when he gives it anyway, that's, to give another example where I think it is clear that it's probably the chov, and it's not erased, is Shemitah. Right, you have to say Mishamet Ani, and then the Midas Chassidus is to pay the loan anyway. In that case, I would argue that may depend exactly on whether it's a afkaita de malka or an inability to collect the loan. That's a big question, right? So if it's afkaita de malka, then presumably I assume it's probably a matana. If it's I'm not sure though. If it's an inability to collect the loan, for sure it's the chov. So that's really what you're asking here. And as when a person is mochel something, and then you go ahead and pay them anyway, does that in this case constitute a matana, or is that really just the chov? That'd be the shaila within the tzad of that. Milva and Shemitah is an afkaita de malka, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was mafkiyav alone. So. Okay. Fine. So, with all of that in mind, and I don't think it will help us fully solve the problem, but now let's take a look at our Tosfos in Ksubos. Okay. And, Daniel, please read. You saw this, did you? Didn't get to it yet?
I did. I just don't.
All right, Eli, he wants you to read.
If you talk more and share, then you'll be called upon less to read. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
On the bottom, Tosas and Lama Gimel Mabez. La Mishum Delo Machayev.
La Mishum Delo Machayev. Avon Gavdacha Filu Lasset Yedei Shamayim Enoch Liyav Vedav Kamamonu Kama Rava Vahasokher Et Apoavim Et Anan Asra Torah Afilu Baal Limod Mechayev
So what's bothering Tosfos? What is bothering Tosfos? Daniel?
The Gemara's statement wouldn't seem to apply to a Kanas case.
Right. The Gemara suggests that it's not that you're not chayiv to pay the dal v'hei, it's that based in can't pay it because of kam leib d'rabim. In principle, you're chayiv, but based in doesn't make you pay it because of kam leib d'rabim. But Tosfos says immediately, well, that's a problem. Why? Because when you're dealing with Kanas, what is mechayiv you in Kanas? The psak based in. Right, now, if I steal and I'm modeh, 100% I'm modeh I stole, what do I pay? Karen, I don't pay kefil. If I modeh that I steal and then aid and testify that I shecht it, I don't pay dalet v'hei. Well, no, that, I don't want to say that. If I modeh, if I'm caught on kefil, and now I'm modeh that I shecht it or I sold it, I don't pay dalet v'hei. Why? Because a person is not mashalim kenas al piatzmo. What is mechayev you to pay knas is obviously you didn't act that mechayev you, but it's the psak of the Beis Din that's mechayev you to pay knas. And if that's the case, if Beis Din is not mechayev him to pay knas here, to not mechayev him to pay dal v'hei, he's not mechayev at all. You can't say that he's chayev. If the person were to come and were to ask Beis Din and say, look, my Rebbe Rabosai, I stole and I slaughtered on, well, they know that already, I slaughtered on Shabbos. And he would ask them, should I pay him dalet v'hei? Let's say sidei shamayim. What would Beis Din say to him? No. All the let's say sidei shamayim is always the compensation, tashlumin, restitution for damage, for a loss on the part of the other party. So what does it mean to say that really he's chayim, but as a technicality he doesn't pay because of kalin avrunei? If he doesn't pay, by definition, he's not chayiv. As opposed to mamon, the keren, if a guy walked in and says to you, where does it say, I walk in and tell you that I was gorer of the behemoth to steal it, carry it out into the Rosh Hasharabim. The Edim see me. Begorer the object, am to the Rishas Aravim. So I'm Chal Shabbos and I violate Kinev, I make the Kinyan at the same time. So what did we say that the din is already? On the Mamon? Not a trick question? Come Levi the Rav Yeh. Are you Gorer of Yotze? He's Potter. Why? Because he's Machal Shabbos at the same time. Now you ask the base, and let's say something happens to the thing. A lightning strikes the animal, it incinerates it. Or whatever the object is. You now ask the Beis Din, is the right thing to do for me to pay back? What's the answer? Of course. It was by Karen. You're chayiv to pay whether Beis Din makes you pay it or not. By Knas, by definition. By definition, you're not chayiv unless the Beis Din is mechayiv you. So what does it mean to say, that it's not that he's not chayiv, it's that, come maybe the Rav Amina. Daniel?
In this situation, the reason why the person isn't paying the dollar to pay isn't because he's pleading guilty, and therefore based in
true,
which would mean then that in a if he actually didn't do it on Shabbos, he didn't do the shkita on Shabbos, then he would be getting the dollar pay, but from based in. So it's not a situation; they're not.
So let's read the answer of Tosos, which is not really an answer, or it doesn't. Flesh it out is really. It's an answer. It just doesn't spell out what he's thinking. Go ahead. Mikoma kom nicha.
Mikoma kom nicha. The kevan shehayar ha'ui lehitchayev. Mikoma haya mitchayev benasho. Mitchayev neme amamon. Al yed shodiyah. Kevan sheno mitchayev benasho.
Okay. So what does that mean? It's just a tautological answer.
Exactly.
So now, Tosfos were very smart people. Very, very smart and pious people. But here the emphasis is on smart. They knew what they were talking about. The question is, what was underlying their words? They figured, Schlein, it was obvious to you. Right? You know, they figured if you weren't busy with all these other things, you'd spend an hour focused, not tired, not worrying about physics or whatever else it is, and chemistry, and you, of course, it would appear to you immediately. Okay. But that's not very helpful to any of us, so what's going on here? Yes, Zach.
They're saying that it's not about being mischayev bidei shamayim. It's saying that the whole issue is whether or not at that time you've done something that one could be mechayev, that you can be chayev for it.
So let me. I'll give you guys, somebody else want to take a shot. Right, Zach, you haven't really, you've just reworded Tosa's answer, right? In other words, still, to understand what I think Tosa is driving at, you have to think about focus. What you're focusing on. Moshe?
Yeah, this is probably a dangerous word to say, but
Chavtzengav is a very dangerous word. Oh, is that what you were going to say? I was kidding.
No, that's actually serious. Like, we're looking at the person, can he ever be Chayav Dal Vehei? And not at, like, in this specific case, can he ever be Chayav Dal Vehei? Am I a person who can be Chayav Dal Vehei? Then I can appoint Shliach who can be Chayav Dal Vehei.
So, I think that there's no need to talk about, I don't know, Chavtzengav are there. I think you're moving in the right direction. But you have to identify what you're doing. Before I come back, does anybody else want to suggest something? Does everybody who's willing to understand the question? Right? In other words, at the end of the day, what does it mean that you're chayiv but you don't pay because of kalim rabbinah? If you ask the Beis Din, should I pay it? The answer is no. Because only if we are mechayiv you are you chayiv. That's the definition of knas. Asher yarshio Elohim. If Beis Din cannot be marshia you, presumably you're not chayiv. So what does it mean that he's chayiv but he doesn't pay because of kalim rabbinah? Anybody else? That's the question. Yitzi?
In a vacuum, this act carries with it a standard payment that the Beit Din will obligate you.
Well, I think Moshe sort of said that, but so I think it may be correct, but you have to sort of highlight what you're focusing on.
The focus is on the act itself, as opposed to on the enforcement.
It's just
So I think that you have to ask the real question, what does it mean in shlichus? What does it mean in shlichus when you say that ilu avad ihu lo mechayev, avad shliach o mechayev? That's really, really the question. The flaw, and what I think the Gemara's answer is, according to Tosfos Rini, you have to say this, I mean, Tosfos asked the obvious question, is that Rav Zutra's formulation is what the Gemara is rejecting. Now, I think you were both correct in what you were saying. Rav Zutra said that if you were to do this now, you would be chayev, you wouldn't be chayev, so why if you shaliach bazar are you chayev? But that's really the wrong question. You notice before I invoke the idea that kol milsa dehu iu lo matzi oved, shaliach lo matzi l'shavuyeh. If you can't do it yourself, no shaliach can be doing it on your behalf. No shaliach can be doing it on your behalf. So the point is as follows. The issue is not whether or not I can have a shaliach's action be mechayiv me, is not a question of whether or not in this very identical situation, if I were doing it, I would be chayiv. The question in a certain sense is whether or not I am in theory liable for this kind of this punishment. Meaning, if you did it on chol, is this an action? Am I a person? I don't want to get into that. For whom I will be liable for Dala Vehe? And the answer to that question is yes. The fact that now I do it on Shabbos doesn't change the nature of the act or the nature, and if I do it Ayyidei Shaliach during the week, by the way, what's the din? I'm also Chayef. So the fact that I do it on Shabbos doesn't change the fact that the Shaliach can be my shaliach and can create liability for me. It doesn't matter that technically in this case, for a particular reason of kamle b'derabamine, that I don't pay. We don't turn around and say, well, then you can't be chayav for the action as a shaliach. When the Gemara here says that it's not that... ihu lab mishum delo mechayev. It doesn't mean that I am chayiv in this case. I'm not chayiv in this case when I do it myself. If I ask the Beis Din, they'll tell me I'm potter. The question almost is, am I a bar chiyuva? Is this an action in the abstract that will be mechayiv me to pay dal v'hei? And if the answer is yes, then in principle, I am chayiv for the dal v'hei. In principle. There are situations where I happen to be potter on a technicality, and that technicality may even mean that Beis Din would tell me you don't have to pay. But in principle, when you remove that technical obstacle, namely Ayyidei Shaliach, where now I'm not Chayev Isa, so of course I'm Chayev to pay Dalad Vehei. Of course I'm Chayev. I am a Bar Chiyuva. In the case where I was Mechal O Shabbos, I'm not a Bar Chiyuva. But just because the Shechita took place on Shabbos doesn't mean I'm not a Bar Chiyuva. I'm hesitant. I know the temptation here is to focus. If I went, the distinction would not, by the way, have been a Chefza Gavra distinction. It would have been a Pu'ula Gavra distinction. Right? From the perspective of the Pu'ula, I'm not a Bar Chiyuva. From the perspective of a Gavra, I am a Bar Chiyuva. This is the kind of action that renders me liable if there happen to be no technical obstacles. Okay? But I don't like you. I think that sometimes terminology is useful, sometimes it obscures.
Is this different than what Rashi says, which is Yechivo Ram Ya'ale? He's doing something that he is.
It's hard to... Rashi sounds like what we don't want to say, if you ask me. Chayuva Ram Ya'ale sounds like the obligation to pay actually rests upon him. It is cast upon him.
But
Kamei Rabine. But then that wouldn't work so well in the Gemara. It wouldn't work so well. It's not what I'm saying.
You're just a person who... If it weren't for Kimna Ravine, then he wouldn't be
a liar. Again, everybody knows. If it's not for... Let's say, for example, let me give you the following example. Let's say Chayve Misos Shogigin. Let's say you held like Ravdimi.
And if you look at Tosis, which we're not going to do, I can't find my Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph here that I copied. I must have left it behind in my books. But on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, there's a nice... No, I'm sorry, Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. On Tana de Bechizkiah, I feel my Lamed Hei Amud Aleph here. Adibar Maschel M'i Kalamanda Omar. The big Tosis Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, which we're not going to actually do, but Tosis, you should, if you have time, you may not, to go through it. Tosis demonstrates that he thinks there are Tanaim who disagree with Tana de Bechizkiah. And it was a fascinating, fascinating explanation as to why they ask a kasha Rabbi Yochanan and the Rashba in Tosos, not the Rashba of Spain, the Rashba Shimshon ben Avram, the Baal Tosos, Tosos Arash, explains that the kasha from Yochanan actually wasn't from Tana Bechizkiah, it actually had to do with our Mishnayis. It's a fascinating Tosos. But the point Tosos makes, there are Shitos in the Tanaim who hold that Chayvei Misa Shogegin is Pater. So what if a guy did Gana V'Tavach B'Shabbos, and they did give him Hasra'ah for Shabbos, would he be Chayv Da'al V'Hei? Absolutely. If you hold the Chayv Misa Shogegin is Chayv to pay money, then absolutely you'd be paying Da'al V'Hei. Right, so you really are a Baruch Hayyua for the act. It's only a technical patur. Once you have the technical patur, now if you ask Beis Din, after the technical patur happens, should I pay anyway? The answer is no. Because the technical patur, once it prevents Beis Din from your Mechayu, Mimela, there's no Chayiv of Knas. But the action, fundamentally, I'm a Bar Chayuva for the Knas. I don't get it in this case for technical reasons, and I'm not even a Chayiv of the Yishamayim for those very same technical reasons. Yes?
Why wouldn't this apply to all cases of Knas? Meaning, in Tosfos' question, there's Mechalik between Mamon Tashlumin and Knas. But it seems
in all
like
cases,
in
all cases, in all cases of Knas, mixing two things together. All cases of Knas, Tosfos would tell you that you don't pay. And B'dinei Shamayim, you're not going to pay either. Basically,
including
you
know, my case.
Every case of Knas. This happens to be the case that in other words, Onei Simafata. Right? Onei Simafata, if you rape a girl and you come into Beis Din and say, Al Chechecha Tosi Lefonecha, you know, but Onei Simafata. That's a good line. They're just flown as a cat. I did not pre-plan that one. Okay? So basically we'll tell you to pay Boshes, and Pagam, and Sar, if whatever's relevant. What about Knas? They'll tell you a Pater. What if you say, but really I want to do a Tshuva Gemara? They're still going to say to you, don't pay. Now, it happens to be, it's EF Shar, but if you could do Onei Simafata Yidei Shaliach, right? You'd still be Pater from the Knas. I mean, in other words, there are two separate issues here. There is the fact that you don't... repeat your question. I sort of lost my own train of thought. What was your question?
Meaning, in light of Tosfos' question, is distinguishing between Tashlum and Mamon and
Knas. A general rule. Nothing, not related to this sugya per se. This sugya gets interesting because we're dealing with a Kamle Rabbinei of Knas, which is done away with when you have a shaliach do it, right? By Onei Simafata, you can't have shaliach do that. Because, except for, you know, why can't you have someone be Onei Simafata, your shaliach? Interesting question. Presumably, for starters, ain't shaliach adar there, but it may be more than that. It might be, for example, I don't know, can you, let's say things are really, really busy for you. Sukkot, you have a major trial, you're a lawyer, major trial's coming up, and you're literally not going to be around the Lubin Esther. Can you appoint someone as a shaliach to...
No.
Why not?
Is your body...
It's a mitzvah shibagufo. So I have a suspicion that Onei Simafata might, I'm not sure, might be a mitzvah shibagufo. After all, the kenas is what Abaye says, hanah shchiva. Right? And hanah cannot transfer. Even with the principle, even if you held that yesh shalech adar avera, presumably I can't be chayav if I asked you to eat chazer on my behalf. Presumably the hanah there, it's a mitzvah, it's an avera shibagufo. So, but bottom, but what's that?
Unless there's another reason as to why you're getting hung up by having this man rape the girl. Me or two.
All right, let's not even go there. I'm just gonna stop this conversation in its tracks, and let's just go to the point of saying that the issue of Knas versus Mamon is separate from our sugya. It's a general point that when I do something that's mechayev b'mamon, like I steal through Chilul Shabbos. That I'm potter through Beis Din on the Karen because of Kamei Rabbi Minei, If I ask Basin, am I chayiv to pay? The answer is yes. We just can't make you do it. Whereas, and I'll give you, by the way, here's a good nafkamina, by the way. This is actually a good nafkamina. Tfisa. Let's say you had a mashkon in mind for whatever your property in mind. Could you be kovishim? Mistama. I don't know. Somebody must talk about this. I haven't seen any discussion, and I haven't gone looking in Shulchan Aruch and Achronim. I would imagine that by kablei derabaminei, where you're chayiv meikar din to pay, but your potter, in the sense that based on what make you pay, if I'm already tofus on your property, mistama, I'm allowed to keep it. I could be kovishim because you owe me the money. And here, what based in can't be gova. My basin can't be gover, but if I have it already, well, that's the way it is. I mean, you could actually check this out. They might talk. I wouldn't be surprised if you find the Achronim. Nothing I've seen yet, but it talks about Tfisa. You guys know what Tfisa is? Right, in cases, for example, of Safek Mammon. If I'm Tofes, in many cases, basin won't be motzi from me, because now the burden of proof shifts to the opposite side. So in this case, I'd imagine that if I were Tofes in such a case, I would think that by the Mammon cases, that basin would say, if the guy now is Tovim and basin would say, look, we will not force you to pay, but we're not going to take it away from him either because you really were chayiv to him. If it were a knas case, if it were any knas case, and you were tofes, so the din would be that your potter, that based on make you give the money back.
So how would you for Tosfos answer to the words of the Gemara? The Gemara says, "Ihu lav mishum delo mechayev."
So I would say it's not,
but really you're not, as Tosfos pointed out in this question.
So what it means is that, in other words, he is a bar chayuva. He's just not chayiv in this particular circumstance.
Meaning it's not like he's appointing a shliach who's a woman. That shliach who's a woman is now going to be Masadar Kedushin, somebody in Wyoming for him. Because is she ever able to...
I don't... That's not a good case, so you got to come with a better case, just because it's going to confuse me and distract me. The bottom line is, you are a bar chayuva. Wyoming.
Meaning, like, if you're good,
you are a bar chayuva, you happen not to be chayiv in this case, right? Again, barring my analogy, Dovi is not my shaliach when he does zrika, because I can't do zrika myself ever. I mean, not in the mikdash. So therefore, he can't be my shaliach. But here, so barring the principle, if I cannot be mechayiv as a matter of principle on Dal Vahay, then I can't be mischayed through a Shaliach either. But as a matter of principle, I can be mischayed Dal Vahay. On a technical reason, I'm Potter Legamre in this case. But fundamentally, I'm a Bar Chayuva. So really, he is mischayed, but he doesn't pay under any rubric, Derdam Bidei Shemayim, because of Kamei B'der Rabbeinu. Yaakov?
Are you Bar Chayuva to be Yosei Dei Shemayim, or are you Bar Chayuva for whatever regular thing would have happened to you in the end?
We're talking about, I say Bar Chayuva to pay Dal Vahay. On a regular case.
In a regular case.
I don't know that you can. Well, right. In a regular case. Zach.
It seems that the mistama, the guy has aided him, saying that he was tovera mocher.
Yes. Otherwise, there'd be nothing to talk about. Again.
But this is saying, "Asher shina lohim prada mashiach atzma." Okay, but we still have. It's the same. Basin
is using that to explain something else. You need Adam to be Asher Yarshi Un Elohim Prat L'Marshia Es Atzmo. Beistim will only be Marshia when they have Adam. It's true. But the point that Tosus is making is that what makes you Chayev in Knas is the Harsha of Beistim. Beistim is Marshia you. They do it only with Adam. If you didn't have Adam in this case, there would be nothing to talk about.
Well, why is that?
If there were no Edom in this case, you wouldn't be Chayav Ayde Shaliach either.
Right.
Okay. So.
No, but I'm saying, why is it any different than the Bezin being Chayav you with.
Karen?
Yeah, you still need.
No. The point is that Bezin is not Chayav you and Karen. Bezin is just Mevarer in that case. Once they're Mevarer that you own the Karen, they will force you to pay the Karen. They don't create the chiyuv of Karen. The Karen was created when you stole. The chiyuv of Karen was created when you stole. The chiyuv of Dalad with hay was created through the Pesach of Beis Din. It relates to the Maisa Geneva and Tvicha. What?
It's not created with
Adam. Adam is a prerequisite for Beis Din to create it. Otherwise, how else does Beis Din do it? They can't do it based upon your own testimony. Prat l'marshias atzma. When Beis Din
is
Marshia someone...
Marshias atzma, but the Adam are Marshia him.
Eidim is a function of the base then. Marshias Atzmo means...
And there are eight in this case.
Agreed, and you're only potter because of Kama and Gerav Aminim.
I mean,
I'm trying to avoid the question. Meaning that he's saying that you're not chayiv b'dei shamayim because Bezin hasn't been mechayiv you. I'm trying to argue that the fact that Eidim come is just enough to mechayiv you in shamayim.
No. It's the psak based in that's mechayiv you. B'dei Adam and B'dei Shamayim. It's not the presence of... If Beis Din doesn't accept the Eidim for whatever reason, that's if they don't accept their testimony, then that's not, you know, and not going with the, then there's no Chayiv Da'al V'Hei. It's the Psach of Beis Din. It's Asher Yarshi'un Elohim. Eidim is just the mechanism that Beis Din uses. What Beis Din is not allowed to use is Atzmo. They can't use your Hodah to be B'chayiv you. There happens to be a Machlokas Amorayim, whether Moda B'Knas is Potter, or Ena the Mishalim Knas al Piatzmo. In other words, is your Hodah a Poter? In other words, what if I Modeh B'Knas V'Achar Kach Ba'o Edim? It's a Machlokas Amorayim. Right? But everybody agrees that you need Edim to be Mechayiv Yom Knas, but it's the Psach of Beis Din that does it.
Just to
respond. Yes. I did a good job.
No. The circumstances haven't changed. Meaning, it's not that Beis Din wouldn't have... Beis Din, not technically, Beis Din would have actually obligated him to make the Da'al V'Hei payment circumstantially because he didn't admit himself. They carried out with that ruling, with that psah. But just because of Kamlei... The very fact that there is Kamlei Madarav Aminei should imply that Beis Din actually did follow through with the psah of Da'al V'Hei.
No, the point is they don't. The psah... What is the Psaka based in? You know the formulation of Psaka based in the Gemara Sanhedrin says? What is Gemar Din? Ploni Atachayev. Not a theoretical discussion. Ploni Atachayev is the Psaka based in. That's the Gemar Din.
And you don't need that by Mamon? Based in what would say Ploni Atachayev?
You do. In Mamon, when it's disputed, what settles the facts and allows for Kfiyah is when based in says Ploni Atachayev. But it doesn't actually create the chiv of tashlumin. That's created by the original act, the nezek, the geneva, the halval, whatever else. But by knas, when Beis Din says ploni atachayev kefel, that's the mechayev of kefel. There's an altrai. There had to have been an original act that makes you liable. But it's the psak of the Beis Din that is mechayev you. There's a sugya in Makos. Sugya in Makos. To look at further. It's on Daf Hey. It's a Tosfos. And there's a Rekiv Eger also. I'll just read you Rekiv Eger's formulation. You have to go. I'm not going to go into the whole Gemara right now. But Rekiv Eger was wondering why Tosfos didn't say a certain thing, and he says, "The af de below edim lo hayu habeis den yecholam lechayvo mikomakom huba atzmo sheyedei haemes baruch yuvahu umutal alav l'shalim ma she'en kein beknas de lekushta de milsa eino mutal alav l'shalim the chol zman shelo chiyuvahu beis din." Eino mechuyav klal. Ooh, the ayin tosfos ksuba. I know this. Ksuba stuff. Lama gemal beis dibar mas chalav. And he says the same thing is true. He says the chain bedin. This tosfos would deal with dinei nefashos case. He says the chain bedin nefashos to the mashi of dea emes shehara aglat bar katola. The eino lo chiyuv klal lahomisis hatsmo. The leka chiyuv raka pipsach beis din. Then listen to the last words. Vachiluk nira. Nachon ubarur be'ezes Hashem yisbarach. Right now, it's compelling.
But it's
Tosfos. That I'm telling you that's what Tosfos is assuming in his kasha here.
You could argue that there's no way in the Gemara that's
maybe not. I think it's Asher. But the Torah says it. Asher Yarshiun Elohim Yishalim Shnayim L'Rei Eidu. The way Chazal read it. No, but based in is only mechayiv by definition with evidence. Evidence happens to be Edom. But who is the Marshia? It's not the Edom. The Edom can sing and dance all day long. If the Beis Din doesn't want to accept the testimony, doesn't believe them, you know, finds a technical obstruction in their testimony,
then they're not good Edom. They don't count as Edom.
Okay, but it's not...
Beis Din doesn't have the choice to say, these are good Edom, but we did everything, we did all the chakir that we need to do, and it turns out, just not feeling taking this case.
I think Rabbi Akiva Eger is correct. Fine. Yaakov.
Just back to the Gemara. Marzucha is asking, what's Marzucha's question now?
His question, he's stating, look, if your shaliach does something, if you do something and you're not chayav for it, how can you be chayav if your shaliach does it? Shlucha shaladam kamoso. So if you did it, you'd be pater.
Is the question you're not a bar chiyuva, and therefore how can your shaliach be a bar chiyuva?
Well, I think the way Tosis would say, the way I understand Tosis is Marzucha got caught up on focusing on the act. If in this very case you're doing it, you'd be pater. Then your shaliach doing in this very case, if shlucha shaladam kamoso, you're also going to be pater. And the Gemara's response is wrong. The principle that komilsa dehul masi aved shliach lamatsi shavuye is one that relates to the nature of the gavra, not one that relates to the specific action at hand. Right? To pull back Moshe is the distinction between the gavra and the pa'ula.
The Gemara's response, "Lav mishum d'lo mechayev," is that really focusing on the pa'ula? Someone have asked this before.
Well, you have to say, I know that it's pushing in the language, you have to say what Tosis read those words is saying. When we say that it's "Lav mishum d'lo mechayev," "Lav mishum d'lo mechayev" means... in fact, you might even could be medayik actually. Ihu lav mishum delo mechayev. Right? It's not ihu. That word theoretically is extra. You could have said, in fact, maybe that's where Tosis is coming from. Lav mishum delo mechayev. So I'm not. There may be another reason for that word to be there, but I would read ihu lav mishum delo mechayev. It's not that he is not a Baruch Yehuva. It's that in this case he doesn't pay because of Kamlev with Rabbi Meir. But he is fundamentally Baruch Yehuva. Baruch Yehuva doesn't mean that he asked us in a case where he did it, would we tell him that he should pay? No. But it means in this general case of Dalet Vehei, he is a Baruch Yehuva.
Is that really a response? Is that really the right response though? Meaning Marzuch is asking the Pula isn't a Pula which would be Mechayev.
Saying that the pa'ula is irrelevant. The gavra is what's relevant.
But that's not what they say. They say.
No, I think that's the whole point. Ihu really is mechayev, but there's a technicality of kamlev the rabbi. He doesn't pay in this case. Again, this is not. It would have been nice if the formulation had been clear, and we would be having this discussion. So you have to. I don't believe in saying things that are against the words, but I do think that here the Gemara demands some type of an explanation. Okay.
Well, I just want to understand exactly how the Gemara would have understood otherwise.
I don't know. That's the problem. Tosis Kasha seems very compelling. Yes. It's fun.
Can the Avarian, or I guess the Baal in this case, be onus Yidei Shaliach to do Kedushin with Bia that she eventually accepts?
First question you have to ask, and I think the answer is wrong, is that you can't do kiddushe bia yidei shaliach. So the question is out the window. And of course, I'm waiting for the clever proof of how do you know you can't do kiddushe bia yidei shaliach. Aside from that, it's obvious. So those of you who know, ever learned Hilchos Nida, know that if a person's wife becomes a Nida in the middle of Tashmish Amida, what? If a man's wife becomes a Nida in the middle of Tashmish, not under the chuppah. Okay, so what the halacha is, the Gemara tells us, this is called mitzvah saseh shevenida, that he has to wait until his averus meis, until he loses his erection, and then withdraw, because yitziyaso is hana lo kiviyaso, and he could be chayav achatas, if he didn't know the din, and he withdrew, he's chayav achatas. That's considered a maisa bia as well. So presumably, it would be impossible to mekadesh bebia because as soon as he began the act of bia, as soon as he completed the act of bia,
right? He would she would be mekudeshes, and if he withdrew now, unless you say the way to have neighbor mace, so then he'd be violating Ashesid. And he'd ask her on Levaila. Now that's
why it's
okay. How do you like that one?
It's a derban
agezer. Oh, you mean zera be a rishona to be a shaliach? You can't say kiddushay be a shaliach because it's obvious, right? It's like the lulav and esrog. It's a mitzvah sheba gufo. Okay, fine.
Like, yeah, especially given the fact that in the sugya of shaliach bar avera, like everyone's wondered that machal sasirus and beil sasirus are. You can't use the shliach more because it's possible that one person would be.
When I said that, I mean, I didn't remember the Gemara says a beferish. I said that intuitively. The hana, it's something of hana.
Beferish and kedushin.
Oh, okay. I forgot the Gemara. I learned it once time. I forgot it. I didn't do chazara. Okay, so yes. So there you go.
Everyone would be worried
that
there's no shliach
of arver because you get the hana. It's very the element of hana. By the way, machalas asuras and arayos is something that comes up in many different sugyos and chas. Misasik b'cholam arayos chayiv shekeinene. Probably a lot of context in which it's relevant. Okay, so baruch shekivanti apal pisha shachachti. Okay, fine. Okay, but I thought that was a clever pupil. Okay, fine. So anyway, what's that? Well, what's the problem? It's his wife.
Only at the end. He wants to be Mekadesh her through Onis.
What? So now, what's this? Now, what was your crazy question?
He's Onis a woman to be Mekadesh her with Bia, and then she accepts the condition.
She needs Dad.
Hey, you, why can't you Onis a woman to be Mekadesh
her
with Bia?
Isn't she
automatically married?
It's too late. Too late.
No, it's like the case of the Gemara where she says, leave him alone.
You can accept a ring.
What about your
Ma'adisar
and Sofa?
And that's what he's talking about. I wonder if anybody says, I don't know, but taking my pilpulo, my pilpul shall hevel, maybe if it's correct, what would somebody say if he was, if the achnasa was be'ones, but then while he's inside her, she consents to marry him, is his withdrawal considered? Probably not. Probably not. Probably not. No, I have a suspicion. Oh, this is not our sugi right now, so let's let it go. Okay, fine. Okay. Anyway, that's enough for Tosfos. Let's talk about Daf. Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. Okay, I can't because I got to find the Gemara here. Ksubos. Okay. So, we won't get through all of these toasts now, that's a given. Let's start with a very straightforward one. The Gemara wants to know if it's Tovecha Yedayach or Maitaima the Rabban and the Pashvi, right? It's great, you finally figured out Rabbi Meir, but now you need to know why are the Chachamim Poter? After all, there's no Kamei with the Rabban, eh? So that's not what was driving Rabbi Meir. So Tosa says, okay. Thank you, Eli. You could read this as a short one. Go ahead. My time with the Rabban and the Patri. Did you see it yet? I don't know if you... It's easy anyway. Low boy in the Beimar. The fourth Tosus from the bottom on Lamed Aleph.
Okay, that one we...
You didn't see it. Okay.
So.
Okay. Who would like to read? Quickly. Quick volunteer. Okay, go ahead.
My time with the Rabban and the Patri. לא בעל דממר דלא דרשה או בתחת דרבות את השליח, דלא ניחה להם דממר
Yeah, the Gemara could have said that the reason why the Chachamim argue and say that he's Pater is because there's no Tavicha on Yedei Shaliach. Right? And how do we know that there's Tavicha on Yedei Shaliach? From Mechira. Because Mechira needs another person involved. So they would say, they could have said, there's no Tavicha on Yedei Shaliach because it's Ain't done in Efshar, Efshar. Efshar l'mechira without a shaliach, but it's Efshar l'tricha without a shaliach. So, anyway, so that's what Tosa says. Mestama, everybody agrees that yesh shaliach hadvar avera by tricha. So that's why they need to find a different akudah samachlokas.
Why do we say they all agree? Why can't we just say that they're disagreeing about shaliach?
Shouldn't Tosa offer a reason why the Gemara daft didn't want to say that?
I think Tosa assumes that it was an accepted principle. That's all.
Why?
I'll tell you why, because there are lots of different people finding lots of different ways to get to the very same conclusion. There are three different makoros that you could use, any one of them, you don't need all three, to teach you that yesh l'dvar aver by tvicha. So the fact that they're all darshaning and heading to the same path, it's like ayin tachas ayin. There may be that being mammon, there might be 12 different drashas, but it seems that it was the din which was muskam and it was a kabbalah. Okay, fine. I'm not even read. You can read ki kapatri rabbanan ashara. So the Gemara says at this point, which cases do Rabbi Meir and the Chacham argue, and which cases do they not argue? So they argue on the ganav v'tavach lavudazara and ganav sharanis galatvacho. They argue on that, but legabe ganav v'tavach b'shabbos, everybody's mechayev dal v'hei because it's a shechita haruya. Fine. So Tosa says, if that's the case, v'im tomar. Kol shekain. Yeah, what's the chiddush? Why bother? In other words, they don't argue about the case. And it's not like it's a chiddush for either side. The chacham, it's a shechita ru'ya. So Rabbi Meir himself is mechayevim neshechita sheinarin. The chachamim, there's no reason why they would patur in this case, and they don't, because they only argue in the other ones. So why bother mentioning it? And the answer is, v'yishlomer. Okay. What does that mean? It's really lozo avzok, probably it should have been. Which is... not only Ganav Etavach B'Shamis, Rav Meir says, but even Ganav Etavach L'Avodah Zarah. What's that? Not only this, but also this. That's what this is. Ganav Etavach B'Shamis, not only Ganav Etavach B'Shamis, but also, that's what Zoh Afso. Ganav Etavach B'Shamis Chayev, but not only that, but even Ganav Etavach L'Avodah Zarah. You never heard the expression Zoh Afso?
I thought it was the Zoh Afso, meaning this case, and even...
Okay, that's what lozo afso is, right? In other words, not only this case, he tells you not only ganav v'tavach b'shabbos de'ichai because everybody agrees, but even ganav v'tavach l'avodah zarah.
It sounds like from your formulation that you're saying the first one is a chiddush also, and even the second one is also the second one is even a greater
chiddush. The whole point of lozo afso is the second one's a greater chiddush. Right? I said you want to say zo afso, but okay. So at the end of the day, it's not really an answer. Right, this is the cop-out answer when you don't have a better explanation of its Rikhla. That's just the way it works. The Gemara does this all the time. We'll say, Zo Vein Zarach Lomar Zo Katani, or Zo Alo Zo Afso Katani. So this is of the genre. What, if there's a difference, I'm not sure what it is of Lo Zo Afso. Yeah.
Well, I think that there's this thing that, I mean, I don't really say this, but like, once you get to the answer of Patri Lana Ashara, like, Lo Zo Afso is also like, that's not...
Agreed. Look, Tosis is being faced with a question that's very, very difficult. There's no chiddush in telling us that Ganav V'tavach Shabbos is chayiv. Right? It's a shechita ru'ya, and Rabbi Meir himself is mechayiv and a shechita sheinu ru'ya. Right? The chachamim requires shechita ru'ya. Very nice. Okay, but still. One more Tosos. Go ahead. This is a tricky Tosos. Sometimes the little ones are really nasty. Okay? What I mean by that, Shua, is you take one of the longest Tosasim in Shas. The Tosas made famous by Reb Chaim, the Shitas Aruch and Yoma, which covers... Did we do that?
We did it last year.
Have you ever seen a bigger Tosas than that?
We did it twice, actually. First we did half of it, and then like a month.
Have you ever seen a bigger Tosas? I can't. There's one in Bava Kama that might parallel in size, and the Kama Zvachim that off the top of my head. It's huge. It's not that hard a Tosas.
No.
Right? It's just a lot of cases. It's a lot of cases, but it's not so hard. But sometimes it's the little short ones.
It's a larger one that are usually easier to read. Because it means he,
spells out and whatever. So here, this is a very, very small, little subtle Tosos. Im Tomar, what the Gemara said, that on Avodah Zarah, you shouldn't be Chayav Dal Vehei, even if you don't care about Kama D'Rabaminei, because when are you Chayav on Avodah Zarah? When is the Behema Nesar? Well, the Gemara said, Ki katavach, kevan deshachat purta itzerle, idach ki katavach lav demari katavach. As soon as you shecht a little bit, it becomes asur b'hanah l'avodah zarah. But once you are complete the shechita, that's when you chay dal v'hei. At that point, it's lav demari katavach. And we discussed this. Why? Because it may be that Isurei Hanah, either, Rashi, I think, said, lav demari katavach, Rashi said, because it's Asur Bahana. Now, the question is the following. Well, so let me ask you the following question. Why is it Nesar? I don't know the answer to this question. Let's say you shech the Behema only a little bit, and then you stop before you complete the Shechita. Are you Chayiv Misa for Avodah Zarah?
Yeah, according to this, yeah.
Sounds like it.
It doesn't say that. It says it's Asr B'Hanah. It says it's Asr B'Hanah.
Can you have a case of Asr
B'Hanah? I don't know. Meaning that the emphasis here is that if you mishtachav al behemas, I would think that you have to be chayev as well. The only thing that bothers me is the following. Most animal, tvicha, I would say, presumably, we say that tvicha is chayev on for every, you're chayev on for every avodah zarah. I presume that it doesn't require, I assume that if you do shechita with a sock and pogum to avodah zarah, that you're chayev. It doesn't have to be ksheira mitzad hilcho shechita. But I would assume that you have to complete the shechita. Why? Because then it's not derech avodasa bekach. Let's say you just shech a half of one simen. The animal doesn't drop dead on the spot. Maybe it doesn't drop dead at all. Certainly not immediately. So, I assume you have to do shechita. I assume that if you drop a large metal slab on top of the animal, unless it's derech avodasa bekach, that's not called shechita just because you killed it. I don't know that you need the chamisha adinim of shechita lachlam of shemisinai to be a shechita ksheret to be chayiv on it, but I presume you have to do something that resembles a masa shechita. Starting and shechting porta is not a masa shechita.
Don't you get blood? What if you need blood gathering for the thing?
So I'm not sure. Let's assume maybe it is, maybe you are chayiv then. I'm not sure. Yeah, but it's definitely asr b'hanah. Why is it asr b'hanah if it's not a proper shechita yet? What, a proper shechita, and again, the sense of not kosher shechita, but a shechita. Why is it asr b'hanah? Mistama, because what the Gemara says in Chulin, I think, if you mishtachav al behemes chavero, you are, the behemah is not asr b'hanah. You're chay misa. But if you're shochated, it is. Why is the behemah not asr b'hanah if you bow to it, make it into a god? Because ein adam osa davar sheinu shelo. It's not yours, you can't asr it. But that's only if you don't do a maisa. If you do a maisa, so then you do asr it. So presumably the reason why you're osir it when you're shachat paporta is because you did a maisa. Now, I don't know what the din is if you stopped. I'm not sure. Lagabe hana or misa. But eventually you completed, but what asr'd it was the akeva. In other words, once you shechted the animal, the first physical change in the animal already asked the animal. I'm not sure. So anyway, Tosis on that basis asked the question. Vim Tomar. Who's reading? Eli, you reading stuff? Vim Tomar. Kanya Bishinui. So Tosis asked the question. Tosis says that when you shecht an animal for regular dalav hay case, no avodah zarah, no Shabbos, no Sharon Iskol, regular, happy, kosher, sweet, kind behema. You steal it, you shecht it. As soon as you cut part of the simen, he says, you made a shinoi, you're kona b'shinoi. If you stop the shechita there, are you chayiv dalav hay? L'chulei amanat, you haven't done tvacho. Tvacho, even if you hold that you don't need a shechita real achila, you need a shechita. Shechita shenu real achila means a proper shechita, but there's some other pagam in the animal that doesn't allow you to eat it. It's kachim achutz, it's chulun bifnim, it's shor haniskol, it's trefa, whole host of things. But the shechita itself was a proper maisa shechita. So Tosu says you should always be kona with the first porta, and you're not chayav dal v'hei till the end, and you should say lav demari katavech. It doesn't belong to the owner anymore, it belongs to you. You were kona b'shinui. Says, as Tosu says, el al kochach, what do you have to say by dal v'hei? Al kochach b'hochi, Chiyev Rachmana, the Torah obligated you to pay, even though in theory you're kona. In other words, if you weren't kona before you started the shechita, then you're chayev. If you're kona the behema somehow before the shechita begins, then we say lav demari katavach, that it's yours, and therefore you're not chayev dal vehe, you just pay the keren and the kefel. So they have no choice. Al kocha b'hoch chiyev Rachmana. So b'hoch inami, you should say the same thing by avodah zarah, that even though theoretically it's neser b'hana, nonetheless it's not considered really. It's not considered a shechita. The same thing goes like with the dal v'hei. You're mischayim as soon as you start the act of shechita when it belongs to the bailim. as opposed to Shar HaNiskal, which is Mamish Lav Demari Katavach. It doesn't belong to the owner at all. When you start the Shechita, there you should be put on Alvahe. But when it comes to Ganav Tavach Lavod Zara, so there we should say that because when you began the Shechita, it was Demari Katavach. It doesn't matter what happens after that. So Tosa says, V'omeri, the punchline. Apparently, that's not called the shinoi.
It's not a shinoi as much as you can be called out.
Thank you. It's not a shinoi for the purpose of the kidney. What else does it matter whether you make a shinoi? You don't need to have a shinoi to be mazik. I mean,
yeah, you mazik, you made a shinoi.
Fine. Okay. It's not because of the shinoi, it's because of the nezek. It's not because it has a new shame. Shinoi means shinoi is kona because it's no longer the original object. Panim chadash espal lekan. So when you're kona, when you're chayev for shinoi and mazik, it's not because of panim chadashos. It's because you did damage. Be yadayim, be poav. If you don't make a shinoi at all, then on some level you haven't really done any damage. It's a hezek shenu nikar. But it's not because of the classic shinoi. So we're not going to quibble over language. So that's what Tosa says, that it's not called the shinoi apparently until you shech rov. Okay. We could discuss a little more. Maybe we'll talk a little bit tomorrow. We're going to stop here. I'll take your questions out.